We are up to, we're going to start again from Mahi Safta, which is about 15 lines from the bottom, to be exact, 6, 8, 10, about 15 lines from the bottom, Mahi Safta. Beginning of the line is Yasmi, the end of the line is Savinta. Safta, there was an old lady, Havilu Torsa. I'm sorry, go back another line. The last word of the line is Hanu. That's where we're starting from.
What daf are you on?
I'm sorry?
Daf.
Zumbez and Manalov, about 16 lines at the bottom. The last word of the line is Hanu. Hanu Yasmi, these Yisraimim, that was Mithi Gavei Hisavta. They gravitated to this old lady. Havilu Torsa, they had an ox. She went and sold it for them. So the relatives came to complain to Rav Nachman, like, what right did she have to say it, sell it? Amalei, they said to Rav Nachman, Maya Vidita, what did she do to Savna that she sold it? Maya Vidita deserve. Who appointed her as a guardian? Meaning, what legal right did she have to sell it? The Mishnah, one of the ways there's a guardian, the Mishnah started and said, if orphans gravitate to somebody, they make him an automatic guardian. Rashi, even though he didn't get an official appointment, he's considered like a guardian. So they told him, but the price went up. Right, so now she ended up selling it at a cheaper price. It's not fair to the assignment. So he answered them, can I tell you? The sale is finished. Every time one sells something, the price might go up. That's life. So he said, they never got paid yet. All the buyers have done is do meshicha. Let me explain. There's a machlokes, amaroyim, and masechtes b'metzia. How one is kind of mekalkulim. Is he kind of mekalkulim with money? Or is he kind of mekalkulim with meshicha? I'm sorry, I'll take it back. Is a machlokes amaroyim in masechtes b'metzia. Biblically, how is one kind of mekalkulim? One mandiyamer says with money, and one mandiyamer says with meshicha. Both mandiyamim agree that rabbinically, to be kind of something, you have to do meshicha, which means you have to take the item. Money is not kaina. The Rabbana came along and said, money is not kaina. That's true when there's a business transaction between two people. Right? I sell my guy my car, so he paid me. The money is not a kingin. I can still withdraw the sale. Each side can still change their mind. Till he actually drives the car away. At that moment, the car becomes his. Now, he can be kind of the car before he pays, and he can be kind of the car after he pays. The halacha is, however, that if he paid, and then one of the parties want to back out, there's a thing called the Misha Para. It's a curse Chazal give to people who pay for an item and then change their mind, either buyer or seller. So what happened over here was, if the lady, the guardian of the asylum, sold the shahr. The buyers had taken the shahr and done a kinyan. They now owe the lady money. The relatives are trying to intervene to block the sale. So they came to Rav Nachman, they said, what legal right did she have to sell the ox? Rav Nachman's answer was, she's a guardian. So they said the price went up. So Rav Nachman said, that's life in the business. You sell something, the price goes up, you're stuck. So they said to Rav Nachman, but they haven't paid yet. Now, the truth is, if it were a regular business transaction between two people, the fact that they didn't pay would not affect the business transaction. The kinyan had been made, they owe the money, and nobody can retract because the sale is complete. As long as the kinyan was made, the meshicha, now they owe the money, and now you go collect the money. But the sale cannot be reversed. the sale is complete. However, Rav Nachman came up with a new halacha. And what he said was, Amar, so he said, Hainu, where was it? Yeah, Amar Leon Cain, Hainu Rav Chaliloi Bar Idi. If that's the case, that the guy who bought the shor from the Yisraelim hasn't paid yet, we can have the rule of Rav Chaliloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. The Amar Rav Chaliloi Bar Idi Amar Shmuel. Nichse Yisraelim Marahin Kehetish. The halacha is by Hegdish. If you buy something from Hegdish, you have to pay Hegdish. Taking the item from Hegdish is not a kinyan. The only way to acquire from Hegdish is to buy from Hegdish, pay for it. So the Shmuel said that when it comes to the assignment, we let them change their mind until the money passes hands. Meaning we require two things for the Kenyan. A, Mashiach, B, that it get paid for. And if they change their mind before it gets paid for, they're within their legal rights because the Rabbanon treat Yisraelim like Hedish, where the Kenyan is not final until money is paid. So therefore, the lady can go now and retract the sale and insist on the higher price. Because even though it has not been Yisraelim, the sale would have been complete because the Mashiach was done. But since it's Yisraelim, Yisraelim get the halacha of Hegdish. And by Hegdish, the rule is that as long as money wasn't paid, it's not a Kenyan. Yisraelim can exercise that card and say, we are like Hegdish. Now, they don't do it themselves. The guardian does it for them. We are like Hegdish, and therefore we are changing our mind unless you pay us a higher price. Rashi.
Rabbi.
Yeah. Yes.
Go for it, Harvey.
Harvey, go for it. What is the essence of the relative's objection here, that a guardian can't make a deal that isn't perfect? The guardian should be like any other person. They're doing the best they can, and if the price goes up, the price goes up. I don't understand what the essence of their objection is. I understand the answer is that because they're orphans, it just so happens here, we might be able to reverse a deal that wasn't perfect. But what's the essence of their original objection?
Their objection was, really? They didn't feel that she should have any legal right. Nobody ever appointed her a guardian. And therefore, they were looking out for the benefit of their relatives, the orphans. And they felt that whoever is mixing into their business is being detrimental to them. So therefore,
saying this was a lousy person for this particular job.
That's what they came and claimed. And Rav Nachman said, there's nothing I can do because she became a de facto guardian by the fact that they gravitated to her. And the Mishnah said that's good enough. So they started picking at particulars, hoping that at least they can save as much money for their orphan relatives as possible. So first they claimed that it went up in price, and Rav Nachman said, well, that's life. So they said, but it wasn't paid for yet. Now, usually, Rav Nachman would say, that's life. But in this case, by Yisraelim, they have a special rule. So it's paid for, they can change their minds.
So the Raisa, it's Mashiach, works. What did the Rabbanan come and add?
Okay, so if you want to know the whole background of the sugya, it's a whole sugya about Matiah. Basically, the Rabbanan had a fear. And the fear was, if you hold Midrash and Mashiach works, Midrash and Mashiach works, then there is no Rabbanon. Then it's Deraisa. Then the Rabbanon, see, there's two ways to learn. If you learn Midrash and Mashiach works, so then the Rabbanon came along and said, Yisraelim get a benefit of Hegdish. They made a takona that Yisraelim can change their mind if it wasn't paid for. If you learn Midrash and Kesef works, they said Yisraelim can use that Deraisa. Even though we took it away from regular people, we didn't take it away from Yisraelim. Just like by Hegdish, that's what happens.
You mean there's an opinion that said Kesef is the way it works? Is it Deraisa?
Yes. And Mashiach is Rabbanon. Rabbanon came along and saw that it doesn't work. It's not good for economy to have Kesef. We'll see the reason coming up, because Rabbanon
so
felt...
said Mashiach. So then they said Mashiach works according to people that said the rice is...
Japan. Mashiach means, meaning it can be picking it up, it can be pulling it, it can be that the item gets delivered. That's what Mashiach means.
Right, I'm saying, but according to the opinion, that says it's derais, it's kesef. So the Rabbanim came and said, you need Mashiach?
Yes. But they also said, and this is according to everybody, that if it was paid for, and then one of the parties retract, they're subject to a curse.
Sure. Right.
Rashi. Look to Rashi. Harahen kehegdish. Yosef, the nothing are cast of a kavloi. By hegdish it says you pay and it's yours. But shaykhub a mashikha is not applicable. Okay, so now we're going to go through a whole list of cases. What the halacha is with Yisaitan. Okay, so here we're going to go. Dr. Gemara. First we're going to have a story. Chamrei de Ravina Akva Yasma Bashchu Barba Arba. The wine of the Ravina Ukva, the Yasm, Ravina Ukva the Yasm, was bought for 4 zuz a barrel. The Yakar become Bashisa. And the price went up to 6 zuz a barrel. Also the Kama Rav Nachman, Amaluhu, Hainu Rav Chaloi Bar Yidi Amr Shmuel. This is what Rav Chaloi Bar Yidi said in the name of Shmuel. The Amr Rav Chaloi Bar Yidi Amr Shmuel, Nichse Yisai Maharin Kehegdish, Lemiknil of Akasma. So really it's a second story where that same halacha was used by the same person, Rav Nachman. That even since the money wasn't paid, they can change their mind and demand a higher price. Now, by regular person, there would be no change of mind. Mashiach was done. Too late to change your mind. It's over and done with. But because the assignment was treated differently, they're treated like hegdish. It gives them an extra right to change their mind. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Now we're going to go through a bunch of cases. Mashiach peri miyasmi. Okay, this is the case we've been dealing with. Somebody brought fruit from a yasim. Yasim. I mean, the assignment are the sellers, if their guardians hold it. And somebody else is the buyer, the yakar. The price went up, which is the exact two cases we just had. Hainer Rav Chaloi Bar Yidi, we used the Rav Chaloi Bar Yidi rule, which allows the assignment to change their mind. Zul. Now here we go the other way. The assignment.
Is an apotropis just like a middleman? He or she, whatever, he takes the Yesomim's decisions, or he has the right to think what's better for them. Let's say they say something, and he says, no, that's not the way it's going to be.
He has the right, but the bottom line is, he has the right, but he's dealing with Yesomim money. His decisions, but it's Yesomim money.
And they're finished. I'm saying, but... Do they? What is the apotropis? Is he their legal guardian? Meaning he makes the decisions, and what they say is worthless.
Correct. They're not capable of business decisions.
Okay, so there's nothing that they're going to be saying. So let's say in this case here, you said by Yisom we change the rules, right? But that should only work one way. Why does it work for the people that are dealing with them also? You said they can change also, right?
But we're getting to that. You haven't let the Gemara know what's saying. Again, case number one was somebody bought fruit from a yasim, and the price went up. So there we kick in the Rav Chaloi Bar Yidi rule, which says the yasimim can change their minds. Now we're moving to case number two. Zo, the price went down. Okay? Mr. Apotropos sold the fruit of Yisraelim for an excess price. The price went down, and the other guy wants to change his mind. And he's claiming, well, the Yisraelim can change their mind if the price went up, I should be able to change my mind if the price goes down. That's what he's claiming, right? He's saying, listen, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If the Yisraelim can change their mind if the price goes up, I want to be able to change my mind if the price goes down. That's what he's...
In the same case, he didn't pay, right? He didn't pay yet.
He didn't pay, but he did Mashiach.
Right.
Which is Kenya. We exercised our Chonoi Ba'idi rule to allow the assignment to change their mind if it got more expensive. But now it didn't get more expensive, it got cheaper. And the assignment don't want to change their mind. The apotropos does not want to change his mind. He got a good price. The other person wants to change the price, claiming that since it's the assignment, the deal is not finished. The proof that the deal is not finished is if the price had gone up, they could have changed their mind. So if they could change their mind, why can't I change my mind? That's what he's claiming. Zog to Gemara, no. Zo lehe kayach hegdish chamer mehegdish. No. The bottom line is, the other guy, we tell him, listen, Yisraelim get all benefits, you don't. And if you would have been a regular deal with a regular person, you couldn't change your mind? Well, the fact that you're dealing with Yisraelim doesn't give you better power. If anything, it weakens your power. But if a regular person you couldn't change your mind, you can't change your mind now either. Basically, you have the short end of the stick. If it goes up in price, they can change their mind. If it goes down in price, you can't change your mind because this was a valid kinyan between two people. Rashi.
Rabbi, real quick, the Tikkun HaOlam, this would seem to really prevent people from wanting to do a yisamim. The Tikkun HaOlam,
yes.
Maybe they change some of these things.
Dr. Harris, we're going to go through a lot of cases, and your svara is taken into account. But over here, it doesn't apply. Because the guy who's buying from the assignment and took the item, under regular circumstances, would not be able to change his mind. Right? It's only if the price goes up, the assignment can change their mind. So he won't have it there. So the guy won't have it. So he'll go buy elsewhere. We don't view that as a Tikkun HaOlam problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to lose. He's going to lose the fact that the sale will be an invalid sale, that's all. He's not paying more than he should, because the bottom line is, if it went down in price, he paid the right price at the time of the sale. Went up in price, they have a right to change their mind, so the sale is not good. So he goes on and finds a new place to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
He does lose the fact that he's going to have to pay more. But again, you're right, but the Gemara does not consider that a problem. Rashi. The Rashi bar boa ba mashku lukukas ma patrepsin bar boa ba chachavius forces for chavius. But hey, but kaya hedja chomer mehegdash. The Rashi. Kol hedja tamoycher, any hedja that sells, yako lagza by kozumashna mashku lukukas, and change his mind until the lukukas did mashicha. After Mashiach, they can't change their mind. They change Hegdash. For sure, by assignment, which is like Hegdash. They only gave them the power to be like Hegdash to improve their status. Not to weaken their status. We move on to the next case. So the first case was, they sold to somebody else, the price went up, the price went down. Now we're moving to the next case. Im shilchu per liyasmi, they bought fruit. Okay, the apotropos went out and bought them fruit. And he did mashicha, and he didn't pay for it yet. Iyakar, and the price went up, and the buyer wants to change his mind. Claiming that, listen, it's not a finished sale yet, because that by Yisraelim you have to pay, and they didn't pay yet, so I can change my mind. The answer is, le'ekayach hegdish, chavar min hegdish. Le'ekayach chavar min hegdish. No, we say to him, sorry buyer, by a regular case this would be a perfect sale, so now if the price went up, you want to change your mind, you cannot exercise any right. Any benefit of that was only given to the assignment, not to you. So, how about down? The assignment want to change their mind. They paid X amount for their fruit, and now they can get it cheaper, so want to back out of the deal. So, Savramina, we thought, I know Reb Chaloy Baridi, that they can exercise the Reb Chaloy rule. It's in our benefit. We want to be like Hegdish. We didn't pay for it yet, so we want to back out. Amalei Rav Shishi Brei Dervidi, Rav Shishi Brei Dervidi said, no, Arahu Lidutu. This is not a favor. This is bad for them if they can change their mind after they bought the item. Because the Zimnen, the Mitzarki Lepevi, the Lech of the Yom, who are the Yom Izuzi, they'll need food, and nobody will want to sell it to them, because they'll always be afraid that the price goes down. So they said, listen, by assignment, we insist on money. We want the money up front. And sometimes there'll be pressure. The Abitrabus won't have the cash up front, and he can't buy a credit, because the seller will say, tomorrow the price goes down, you'll go and change your mind. I don't want to be stuck with such a sale. So therefore, Chaloy Bar-Yiddi is a great benefit, but it'll backfire here. This is what Dr. Harris meant before, Tikkun Olam, nobody will want to do business with them. Here's a case in point. They went and bought fruit. Let's say they paid $25, and then the price went down. Hey, right now, because last time you stiffed at me, you gave me less because it went down. So therefore, we don't use it because it's not beneficial for the assignment to use it because they're going to end up losing in the long run. Rashi. I'm sorry. They bought it with Mashiach and didn't pay. And the Mashiach want to change their mind because you signed them by with money. In a regular sale, you can't change your mind. So the seller can't change his mind if the price goes up. But if it went down, even the head of Buyasmi, the assignment should be able to change their mind. Came along Rosh Hashanah Davidi and he said, no, in the long run, this is not beneficial. To be able to change your mind after you took the fruit, nobody will want to do business with the assignment until they pay up front. Next case. Yavul Yasmi Zuzi Apeiri. The assignment paid money, and they didn't take the fruit yet. So, they went in price. They want to change their mind. Now, everybody can change their mind under these circumstances because no Mashiach was done. Listen, they can say, listen, we're not any worse than a regular person. A regular person could change his mind. Why shouldn't we be able to change our mind? So therefore, they want to change their mind. 100% within their rights. The Yaker, the price went up. So now, right, they paid for the fruit, and the price went up, right, and the sellers want to change their mind. In that way, is there legal right in a regular case? No Mashiach was done. The sellers could change their mind. But here, we say no, because they paid for it. And when it's good for the assignment, we say the money is the kinyan. Sarabina, we said, listen, over here, they paid for it, and it's in their benefit to say that the money worked. So therefore, the sellers can't change their mind. Shishabedravidi said, this is bad, because the sellers will say, your stuff got burned. Okay, I want to explain this, but first let's go through the case. The assignment paid for it. They didn't take it. Had this been a deal between two regular common people, it was paid for, they didn't take it. Both sides have the ability to change their minds. Now, usually, there's a mishapara, there's a curse. In the case of the assignment, there's no curse, because the assignment didn't do it, and Apotropos didn't do it for his benefit. So therefore, there's no curse. So in this case, both sides have the ability to change their mind. Except we wanted to say that the seller can't change his mind because it was paid for. And we say that's not a good idea. And here I will explain this halacha. Why did Chazal change the kinyan from money to Mashiach? We started off today and we said that, biblically speaking, the kinyan used to be paying. Came along Chazal and said, no, the sale is not finished until the guy takes the item. Why did they do this? And the answer is they did it for the following reason. Somebody buys from his friend, okay? Shimon buys wheat from Levi. He pays for it. He doesn't take it. Biblically, it says, came along the next day, Shimon comes to pick it up. And Levi says, oh, last night was a fire. I'm sorry. I was, you know, I'm not being paid to watch your item. You paid for it. It's yours. It burned down, and the fire department didn't get here in time. There is no incentive for Levi to extinguish the fire. He has no incentive. He didn't start the fire. The fire started by accident, and he has no incentive to save the wheat. He's not getting paid to watch it. He's not being negligent. He's just not exerting himself to save Shimon's wheat. Came along to Rabbanon and said, sorry, Shimon can change his mind, and so can you. And therefore, because they both can change their mind, Levi will make sure that if the fire starts, he extinguishes it. Because if not, he'll be stuck with it. His return is that he can change his mind as well. So we hear, if the assignment paid for it, and now they want to change their mind, what's going to happen is, and they can change their mind, and the seller can change his mind, what's going to happen is, the guy is going to say, you paid for it, it's yours. And you want to exercise the money option. Well, it got burnt down last night. I don't have to pay you for it. It got burnt. Your wheat got burnt. So therefore, we don't want that to happen. So we say that the assignment cannot exercise their money option here because it would be detrimental to them in the long run. There would be no incentive for the seller to watch it. If he knows that the assignment can exercise their money option, he can change his mind just as well as they can, because you can't have it that he should have to watch it for free. Why should he have to watch it for free? He has to be paid for watching it, which is that he can change his mind. So he's going to tell them, listen, if you change your mind, I can change my mind. You can't have it one way, not the other way, because over here, the seller is holding the wheat. And therefore, because he's holding the wheat, we need him to watch the wheat. So we have to make it that the sale is complete and no hedgish option can be exercised. I hope I explained myself well. Let me try to say it again. If you pay for something and you didn't take the item, we need to give the seller a payment to watch it, meaning he has to why is he watching this? You paid for it already. It's yours. So Chazal said he has a right to change his mind. You have a right to change your mind. Therefore, the sale is not complete, and he's going to watch it because he knows you can change your mind. But if he can't change his mind, then it's not fair to him. He's not being paid to watch it. Why in the world should you be able to obligate him to watch your item? The Chazal automatically said, if we're going to make him watch it, we have to allow him to change his mind. And if we don't want him to change his mind, then we can't let the buyer change his mind either. So therefore, over here, the assignment cannot say, we didn't buy it yet because we didn't do Mashiach yet. Because over here, if you're going to, if like the price went down, so since the price went down, I'm sorry, the price went up, so he wants to change his mind, right? He wants to change his mind. So since he wants to change his mind, the price went up, right? They want to change their mind. It's confusing, right? What happened was they paid and went up in price. He wants to change his mind. And they say, we paid already, you can't change your mind. So he's going to say, if I can't change my mind, then I don't have to watch it. So by the time they pick it up, it might be gone because he has no incentive to watch it. So therefore, we say nobody can change their mind. And therefore, both can change their mind. I'm sorry. They said both can change their mind because in order that he should have an incentive to watch it. So both seller and buyer can change their mind if no Mashiach was done. I hope I explained that.
Rabbi, did you start the recording?
What?
Did you start the recording?
Yes, at the beginning.
My question?
Yes.
When they did Mashiach, they don't have to take it off the property, right?
They didn't take Mashiach here. They paid and didn't do Mashiach.
Right, but if they did do Mashiach, like it's recommended, They don't have to take it off the property, right?
No, Mashiach means you take it out of his property.
So if they buy 10 cows, and he says, and he led one of the cows or 10 of the cows to the property, he says, I'll be back tomorrow with my truck.
I couldn't hear you.
Do Mashiach?
Again. You bought, I didn't hear the case.
He bought 10 cows, and he said, I'll come tomorrow, and he led the cows around the property. That's not Mashiach, right?
No. It's still in the owner's possession. No Mashiach was done. Mashiach means I remove it from the owner's possession.
Okay, thank you.
Rashi.
Rabbi, I'm a little bit confused. On a case where they did not do Mashiach, they paid. Is the difference if it goes up or down whether or not they could retract?
We say there's a difference, and we say there's no difference. We wanted to say that if the price went down, they can change their mind because they didn't do Mashiach yet. Right? So the sale's not finished. But we wanted to say if the price gets up, he can't do Mashiach because the sale is finished. Because they have the power of it. The problem with that is,
either case,
if the sale is finished, he won't watch it. Why should he watch it?
Yeah, I get that. Right. Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we have to say both can change their minds. That way he'll watch it. He won't watch it if he can't change his mind. He has no benefit. Why can we? We're not going to obligate him to watch it. If he doesn't gain anything out of it, we have to pay him to watch it. The payment to watch it is the fact that you can change your mind.
But it seems like only in that last case it changed.
Well, that's the case.
When increased in value.
Mashiach. Here they didn't do Mashiach. It's still in his possession.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rashi, Yaakov writes to my medicine box, Rabbi Amid Aleph, Hanuk Aloy Vilayatzu, they can't change their mind. This Ruchi Tekel Aliyah, Sharkinisim Bemaz, pays for it. Yitame Lebatzulam Emrahi, I must tell them you can't say that. The governor Yusuf Yasmi, when it's bad for the assignment, Aminu Lehe Kayak Hedit Chamer Mehegdish. Why can't we say to them, you have to watch it because the assignment can change their mind? The Drashi Lav Milsu, you can't have it one way. The Kivan Dunya Khazara Labrishus Maikuru, since you're saying that the seller can't change his mind, Yindulay Kanami Labrishus Kaima, he's not responsible to keep it away from a fire. The Gabahedit, Bakmina Labrishus Maikuru Lidleka, Hainu Taiman, Bahi Hano, the Kaima Bishus Lakhazara. The reason in a regular sale he's responsible if it gets burned is because he has the right to change his mind, because no Mashiach is made. But if you don't let him change his mind, why should he bother turning off the fire? Again, in order to get him to watch the item, he has to have the right to change his mind. That's why, even though it was paid for, he has a right to change his mind. Now, the assignment are claiming, what do you mean? Hegdish, it was a good sale, it's finished. The answer is, if you do that, nobody's going to watch it for the assignment, because they're going to say, I have no right to change my mind. Why am I mechuyev to watch it? I'm not being paid for this. Why am I watching somebody else's item? Therefore, they said both sides can change their minds. Now we go to the last case. Yavulu zuzili yasmi aperi. People bought fruit from the assignment, and they paid the assignment, but they didn't do Mashiach. Okay, the assignment are the sellers. And somebody else is the buyer. The Yaakov, the price went up. Just like a regular person can change his mind, the assignment can change their mind. No Mashiach was done. So, and now the buyer wants to change his mind. Right? It got cheaper. He wants to change his mind. So, we wanted to kick in the fact that it's like Hegdish. This is bad for them. The Zimna, the Mitzarech, the Luzuzi, the Lekka, the Yavu, and the Yavu, the Peri. Nobody will ever lay out the money before he picks up the fruit, because he's afraid it's going to go down in price and they're going to change their mind. So therefore, it's beneficial for them to not let them change their mind. So to review this Gemara, there are four cases that we're dealing with. In two cases, the assignments are the sellers, and in two cases, the assignment are the buyers. Let's take the two cases where the assignment are the sellers, which in our Gemara is case one and case four. In case one, what happened was the buyer took the fruit. He didn't pay for it. So he did the meshicha, and he didn't pay for it. Right. The price went up. So now the assignment want to change their minds, right? Even though the kinyan was made, but since it wasn't paid for, they can say it's like hekdesh, and we change our mind. And for some reason, we don't think that this is going to hurt the assignment in the long run. If the price went down, the other guy wants to change the mind. We say, listen, you already did the meshicha. Since you did the meshicha, we can't have you change your mind. So this is the one case where we let the assignment exercise their right as hekdesh. Again, the meshicha was done, the price went up. So we say that the assignment can change their mind because the kinyan is not complete, because they say they're like hekdesh. The only case that we let them do it. Case number two, the assignment paid for it. Somebody is buying it from the assignment, paid for it, and didn't do meshicha. The price went up. The assignment wanted to change their mind. So could everybody else. No meshicha was done, so you can still change your mind. So the assignment aren't worse than anybody else. The price went down. The other guy wants to change his mind. The assignment cannot say, we're like hekdesh and you can't change your mind because you paid for it, because then nobody will ever lay out money to the assignment. And therefore, in order for their benefit, we don't let them change their mind in this case. So of the two cases where people were buying from the assignment, if they did meshicha and the price went up, the assignment can change their mind because of the hekdesh rule. If they gave them the money and the price went down, they cannot change their mind because we don't use the hekdesh rule, because it's detrimental in the long run to the assignment. Nobody will ever advance money to them. That's in the case where they're the sellers. Now there are two cases where they're the buyers. In one case, they did meshicha and they didn't pay for it. The price went down. They want to change their mind. So we say to them, you're hurting yourself, because if you want to change your mind because you didn't pay for it yet, nobody's ever going to let you take it on credit. They're going to insist you pay up front. So it's in your benefit not to be able to change your mind like everybody else. And if they paid for it and didn't take it yet, we want everybody to be able to change their mind, even the seller, because we want them to watch it till they pick it up. And the only way we get them to watch it is to pay him for it. The payment is the fact that he can change his mind. So in the three of the four cases, it's beneficial for them to act like regular people, not to exercise their hekdesh card. Only in one of the four cases that we think it's beneficial for them to exercise their hekdesh card. And that is when meshicha was done from them and the price went up. We let them change their minds because of the hekdesh rule. I hope I explained myself well. Is there any questions? No. Okay. That's the way back. Amar Ashi, Ano Rav Kahana, I am Rav Kahana, Chasminan Ashtara d'Imei d'Zira Yasmi. We signed an Ashtar of the mother of Zira Yasmi. She was the guardian, and she sold land, and I signed the Ashtar, the Mezavni Ara Lekarga. They sold the land for taxes. B'loy Achratza. Usually, when the assignment's land is sold, we try to get them the best price. The way we get them the best price is by giving a 30-day announcement that this field is for sale. And therefore, they'll be bidding for it, and they'll give it to the highest bidder. Here, they sold it without that. Why? the carga for taxes, or the mezaini to feed the yisaimim, or the kvura, or to bury the deceased, right, the father, mezavina b'loya achrasta. Those are things we need now. We can't wait 30 days. And therefore, in those cases, we let the guardian sell it without the 30-day rule of announcement. And I signed on it, Rav Ashi said, and so did Rav Kahana, meaning we are. This is the halacha, and we weren't afraid to sign on that shtar, even though usually we insist on a 30-day announcement. In these cases, the money is needed right away. It's done without a 30-day announcement. Rashi, Achrastishim, Achrisim, Shleishim, Yaim, they announced for 30 days, Kar Kaplaini, Yaitzim, Lamachar, Bebedin. This land is being taken to sell the Bebedin. The Bezavni Ara, the Yasmi, the few say Karga, the Yasmi, to appease the government for the taxes of the Yisraelim. Bezavni Beloy Achrastah, and he sold it without announcement, Ipnesh Gaboy HaMelech Nochot, the tax collectors are pushy. They want their money. They put a lot of pressure. In order to alleviate that pressure, we need to pay them up right away. Mezavnina b'loy achrasta, v'sheim p'nai, there's no time. Dr. Gemarbeit, Amram Tzivo, Amram, I guess his parnasa was, he dyed clothing. That's what his parnasa must have been. Abitrapa the Yasmi, he was the guardian of Yisayman. Asu Kraven l'kami d'Rav Nachman, the relatives came in front of Rav Nachman, and again, Amrilei Kolavish Benichsim Yasmi. You know, he's using Yisayman's money to buy himself clothing. He's basically committing fraud here, whatever the word would be. He's taking money that belongs to the orphans for his own personal use. Now, this was an unappointed. This was, and I'm sorry. And Apatrapa that the father appointed, not Bezin. That's what the Rishonim say. Because had Bezin appointed, the Bezin would have been much more quick to react to their appointment. Here the father appointed him, the father trusted him, so Bezin doesn't like to intervene. That's what some Rishonim say. And other Rishonim say, if Bezin appointed him, they trusted him. They can't withdraw their trust quickly. So therefore, in either way, Rav Nachman said, it's fine. Amar lahu, keichid lishtama milei. Listen, if he wants to represent the Yisayimim, he has to look well-dressed. So it's the benefit of the Yisayimim that he dresses well, so he can use their money for that. So they said, ka'achol v'shasim yidetu v'layamet. He's eating fancy foods, and he's not known as a rich person. He must be using their money. They had no proof. It was an accusation. So he said, Amram Metziyashkach, maybe he found money. You can't take him to court on an accusation that you have no proof for. So they said, the Kamafsit, but he's ruining their crops, meaning he's not taking care of their land. Now that's the worst of the three. That means he's not doing his job. Amalahu, Isili Sadi the Mafsit, that could be proven. You can't prove where he's buying his food, which money he's using. You can't prove which money he's buying his clothing from. You have no idea. But you can prove that he's not taking care of the fields. Basalkina, and I will remove him. Dam Ravuna, Ravuna said, Ravuna Chavrim, Ravuna, my friend said, Nishmei the Rav, Apotropos, the Mavsid, and Apotropos, the Mavsid, Basalkina, we remove him. The Itmar, Apotropos, the Mavsid, Ravuna, Amarav, Basalkina, we remove him. The Bay Rav Shil, Amarav, Basalkina, if Shila Paskin, once appointed by the father, we're not going to intervene no matter what he does. And the halacha is misakin alay. If he's not doing his job, we intervene. So again, if you notice the trend of the story, if you follow the thread of the story, they accused them of wearing clothing that was spent from the Yisayimim. Rav Nachman's response was, even if it's true, that's not misuse of funds. That they accused them of buying himself fancy food from the money of the Yisayimim. And Rav Nachman said, you can't prove that. You don't know where he gets his money. He's not known to be rich. Maybe he found something. Maybe he won the lottery. You have no idea. And when they said he's not taking care of the land, that's provable. Adam can come in and say the land is in disrepair, not being taken care of. Then Rav Nachman said, we remove him because he's not doing his job. And that's a machlokes. The son that saved, the father appointed him. Listen, the father went with him. We don't get involved. We don't paskin that way. We paskin if he's not doing his job, we do remove him. Rashi. That's Rashi. It's to the benefit of the Yisraelim. It should be like an Adam Chashuv. Not rich to do this on his own. Now the word Amud means estimated. So Rashi's trying to figure out how does that mean rich. The Rashi, Ustam Asher I'm the Naisim and the Adam, Zekacha was Zekacha. You know, rich people, try to figure out how much money they have. They say he has a million, he has a billion. Like people say, they don't do that for poor people. They don't say, oh, he has $5. Nobody says that. People figure out, try to figure out and guess what a rich person has. The Mela, we say Amud. Amud means he's the people that people guess about his money. Second shot is, people don't assume that he has money for these expenses. So Amud means not that they guess his money, but Amud means in people's eyes, he's not capable of these expenditures. So Rav Nachman said, that's not proof. You can't prove that. Not taking care of the land. The Kaisa Silanas, he's cutting off trees. So for that, we do remove him. For that, we do remove him because that's not doing his job. And again, that was a machloikah. The father appointed him. You know, we're intervening in the father's wishes. And the answer is, we paskin that if he's not doing his job, even though the father appointed him, we will intervene, and we will get him out of here, because he's not doing his job. But the other accusations were not provable. And since it wasn't provable, Rav Nachman said, you can't remove him based on what people were speculating. He was appointed by the father. Listen, that's what the father wanted, you know what I mean? Who are we to intervene? That's what Rav Nachman said. That's what Samir Shaitim said. Samir Shaitim said, even if he's appointed by Bezin, Bezin doesn't remove him unless they have concrete evidence. Because we trusted him to begin with. To remove trust from him has to be based on solid evidence. You can't just say, we decided you're not trustworthy. Hello, we trusted you. We have to have evidence that you're not trustworthy. We can't just do that without any evidence. Message him tomorrow. I hope to be back in person. I'll see everybody at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, 5 to 6. With Kaloyayas, everybody should have a wonderful day.
Rebbe, will have a test ready?
I'll have it ready, but I'll write a blue letter tomorrow.
Yes.